here, but you can't forget from sundown to sunset.
That's right, everybody. Brian Sanchez here with you on the Sports Report. This is the Jim Harbaugh edition of the Sports Report. And that's important to know because Jim Harbaugh has me so pumped up right now to talk about sports. It's unbelievable. And I had to work hard to talk about other sports on the show because I just want to do Jim Harbaugh, but I'm not going to do that. You don't have to worry. But this is the Jim Harbaugh edition of the Sports Report, just so you know. So I'm going to start you off with headlines like we do every week, and then I'm going to get into the Sports Report top 10, the top 10 stories that caught my attention over the last week. Then I'm going to give you the fantasy focus, some fantasy advice from me, your humble host, Brian Sanchez. And then we're going to get into a new segment this week. It's called Got Heme. Got Heme is about someone who messed up in sports, and I'm gonna let him know that he messed up. So look forward to that. And then, of course, we're going to rep the Bay with P-Ob and T-Baby. I'd like to remind you that you should log on to Facebook and find the Sports Report with Brian Sanchez. On Facebook, go ahead and like that page and follow along. I give you updates on what's going on during the week with my broadcasting, and you can get interactive on the show. Let me know what you're thinking about what I say, or if there's something I'm not covering that you want me to talk about, just let me know. Might even get into a little debate with you. You never know. I'd like to keep it loose here on the Sports Report, especially on the Jim Harbaugh edition. But Jim Harbaugh wasn't the most recent thing that happened in football. The most recent thing was Carson Palmer, and that's going to kick off the headlines for today. Carson Palmer was traded to the Oakland Raiders. He was traded for a 2012 first-round pick and a conditional 2013 first-round pick. Now, the conditional pick is if the Raiders win a playoff game this year, the Bengals will get that extra first-round pick. But I'd like to remind you that both of the first-round picks are ridiculous. Why would you trade a first-round pick for Carson Palmer, a guy who's sitting on his butt because he quit on his own team? He's worth a fifth-round pick at the best. He hasn't done anything since 2006, ever since he got injured when he got rolled up on and tore his knee apart. He hasn't done anything, so he's basically no reason to trade for him. But they gave him a first-round pick for him. Now they're talking about giving him a long-term deal, and I don't understand why you would sign Carson Palmer for a long-term. You're doing very well this season with Jason Campbell at the quarterback. It's very sad that he broke his collarbone and it looks like his entire season will be over. Maybe he can come back and if you get in the playoffs. But if you do get in the playoffs, it means Palmer's doing all right. But now what happens next year when Campbell's back full force? You have Palmer and Campbell. Campbell, the guy who is running the team, got you to a good record. And now you have Palmer, the guy who either did well and got you in the playoffs or did poorly. But he's under a long-term contract. And now you've got a quarterback controversy that you just don't need. So I don't understand the pick at all. I don't understand the trade. I don't know why you would make the trade, give up your first-round picks, especially now, because in this next draft, the Oakland Raiders aren't going to have a pick in the first four rounds. How do you build a team in the NFL? It's not through free agency. Ask the Eagles how building a team through free agency goes, because it's not working out for them. You ask the Packers, you ask the Saints, you ask the Patriots how you build a team. They're going to tell you it's through the draft. That's what they've done. And having no picks in the first four rounds is no way to build a team. It's just flat out no way. And now we get to cover Jim Harbaugh, the man that this show is named after today. It's the Jim Harbaugh Sports Report because, first of all, we're 5-1. Thank you, Jim Harbaugh. I don't understand how you're doing it. I don't want to understand how you're doing it. Just keep making it happen. I want to go 5-1 over the next 6-2. But, unfortunately, big win over the Lions, who were undefeated. But the story wasn't about the game, which it should have been. It was about the handshake after Harbaugh ran out. Gave Jim Schwartz, Lions coach, a nice, firm handshake, as he described it. What it was like a bro slap, what you do with your, like, you slap hands with your boy and, you know, give a little grab and, like, pat him on the back. That's what it was, and it's cool to do with your friends. Harbaugh says he does it with his players, but some people don't think it's right to do it to a coach. My response would be that it was a rookie coach in his signature win so far, and it could very well be the signature win of the season. He was revved up, showing emotion. That's why he's such a good coach. And Jim Schwartz got really mad about it. So Schwartz runs after him as Harbaugh is running off the field. Schwartz tracks him down, starts chirping in his ear, And then you got people starting to break the two up before there's a fight. You see some PR guy with slick back hair. You see him just grab Schwartz and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. So you got him in. You got Anthony Davis, the offensive lineman for the Niners, in there stopping Schwartz. And it's nice to see him actually block somebody for a change. I'm used to people just walking right past that guy. And my biggest problem now is the way Schwartz handled it. The way he handled it after, the way he tried to make himself look, and the way he tried to make Harbaugh look. I don't think Harbaugh did anything wrong. I think he did the right thing. I think he was excited, as he should have been. But believe me, I will be talking to you about Jim Schwartz later in the show. That's something you're not going to want to miss. But you know what? It's time to move on from that, because it's World Series time, y'all. St. Louis Cardinals, 10.5 out, are now in the World Series against the Texas Rangers, who have been favorites to be in the World Series since about midway through the season, especially when they made the Mike Adams trade. This team is ridiculous. So you heard it. It's the St. Louis Albert Pujols against the Texas Nelson Cruzes. And it's going to be a great series, a lot of offense. And just because I said that, every game's probably going to be 2-1. But right now, I'm going to give you 5 reasons why each team will win the World Series. I'm going to start with the St. Louis Cardinals. They're lucky enough to have Chris Carpenter, their one good pitcher. Sorry, Jaime Garcia, you're not that special. Chris Carpenter's the guy. He's able to go game one. And because of that, he can go in game 5, 6, or 7, whichever one you need more, because he'll be ready to go. Their offense is absolutely on fire right now. Pujols, Freeze, Holiday, Berkman, all going off. And since there's really no big pitcher on Texas to go against them, it's looking like it could be an offensive series for St. Louis. Tony La Russa is the third reason. He's been managing beautifully, working matchups in the bullpen, knowing when to start someone and when to sit them. Everything he's done works. It reminds me a lot of Bruce Bochy last year with the Giants, which is why I'm afraid to pick against the Cardinals, even though I am. The next one is the fact that they're going to have home field advantage, the Cardinals are, and that's because of Prince Fielder, the guy they just knocked out of the playoffs. Prince Fielder hit a 3-run home run in the All-Star game back in Arizona that gave the National League home field advantage, which was almost used for Prince Fielder, but now it goes to the Cardinals, the division rival, which is why the All-Star game thing is kind of interesting, but that's a topic for another day. And the last reason I think the Cardinals can win is because this is Texas's thing to lose. The pressure is all on them. They're seen as the best team by far. Bullpen, offense, ridiculous, everything. They were here last year. They're here again. You can't lose again to another team that doesn't match up to you. Just like the Giants were not better than you last year, the Cardinals are not better to you this year. You can't lose. That could be a lot of pressure. Maybe it'll break them down. I don't know. And those are the 5 reasons I think the Cardinals will win. And now we'll get to the 5 reasons I think the Rangers can win. And they're a little more obvious because the Rangers are so good. The first one is their crazy offense. And it's unbelievable. Yankees in their prime weren't really what this Texas offense is right now because of the depth. You got Kinsler, Andrews, Hamilton, Cruz, Young, Napoli, Moreland, Beltre. All those guys can hit. Moreland's struggling in the playoffs, but if you can hit, you can hit. So you don't really want to mess with him. That is a very deep lineup, and their offense is crazy good. And the only thing that can equal how good their offense is their bullpen. And their bullpen is really, really solid. You got Neftali Feliz closing with Mike Adams and Koji Uehara setting up. You have Darren Oliver against lefties, Darren O'Day against lefties who are nasty. And you have Alexi Ogando, who was a very good starter during the regular season, who's in the bullpen now. That's just a bonus. That's a cherry on top. And he pitches a lot. And he throws very hard. And they're really taking advantage of having him in the bullpen. And it really rounds their bullpen out and makes them better than any other one in the playoffs by far. And having said all that, I'm going with the Rangers. I took the Rangers before the season started. I'm going to stick with them now. They're my team. I really liked them. I picked them to beat the Giants last year. I think they'll beat the Cardinals this year. It's hard to pick against La Russa and Pujols and what they do in the playoffs. They already have a ring. But I really feel like this is Texas's year, especially the way Nelson Cruz is going. But I'm going with Texas. And you heard it here on the Sports Report. I'm Brian Sanchez, radio.dominican.edu. I'm going to get out now. When we get back, we're going to have the Sports Report Top 10 after the break. Hey there, folks. Brian Sanchez back here with you on the Sports Report. We're getting ready for the top 10 here. This is the top 10 stories that caught my eye over the last week. And here we go. Number one, Sanchez. Yeah, right. Mark Sanchez played last night. Yeah, they won, but it was pretty pathetic. I mean, the Dolphins are just awful. They're in the suck for luck competition. The competition for the team that sucks the worst gets Andrew Luck with the first pick next year. And I know a lot of people are in the running for that one, but Mark Sanchez, the Sanchez, has a 27.2 total quarterback rating, which is god-awful, and wins him the award for worst quarterback rating in the NFL. His team averages 297 yards per game, which is the second worst in the NFL. And since the passing game gets more yards than the rushing game, it falls on his shoulders that his team gets the least yards out of anybody. So I didn't think Sanchez was that good coming out of USC. I know it's easy to look back and say this. I thought he came out a year early, but he struck while the iron was hot, got the money, and I think it shows. And it's year three now, and I'm still waiting for him to do something to prove me wrong. It looks like a Jets team that could make a playoff run, but not with him at quarterback. He looks scared, and I don't like anything that's going on in New York right now. Now we move to number two, staying in football. Cedric Benson gets his suspension knocked from 3 games to 1. The suspension was lessened, and there was no rationale given to why, but there were the reasons why it wasn't, or the reasons it wasn't lessened. People thought that his misdemeanor assault charge in a bar at Texas was going to get lessened because he was a free agent and the league was locked out when it happened, so he shouldn't be punished by a league he wasn't employed by or wasn't in existence. They said that's not why they did it. And then they said that 3 games is just too much for what he did, that he got in a fight with someone who was hitting one of his friends, and Benson fought back and hit the guy back, and they said 3 games was too harsh, and that was one appeal. And the league said, no, that's not why we did it either. But they didn't say why they did it, which is a very curious move. I think maybe it's because the Bengals are 4-2, and it's kind of a feel-good story, getting rid of T.O., Ocho, and Carson Palmer, and the rookie coming in, and they're doing well. And I think they're trying to keep him alive. That's just pure speculation, though. And so it's down to one game, and it's going to be with no pay. So, yeah, that hurts the pocketbook a little bit, but it could be a lot worse. And speaking of a lot worse, we have number three on the top 10. And that's the NBA players and owners meeting with a mediator. As of now, they are still not out. They are in hour 12 of their mediation today, which is just ridiculous. This is the 110th day of the lockout. And the mediator in there with the players and owners right now is George Cohen. He's the same guy who mediated the NFL talks. And you may say, well, that's good because the NFL talks, you know, were successful because we didn't miss season. Well, wrong, because Cohen didn't do anything. Everything that happened came a month after the mediations, when players got risk or were at risk of losing paychecks. And that's when things started to happen. So I don't really know if Cohen's going to do anything. They've been in there 12 hours, and just 12 hours of sitting with people who you argue with is a long time, and I really feel like nothing good is going to come from that. But David Stern said, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen today. If there's going to be a season, it'll be announced today. The 2 weeks will still be canceled, but the rest of the season can move on. And if nothing happens today, he will have to put serious thought to there being no season, which now I'm on the fence about, because now we're at that point where players start to realize we're going to start losing money. There are players that can go overseas and play for a much smaller paycheck, which Josh Childress from Stanford, who went over there, said that if they didn't have the money over there, they just wouldn't pay you, and there's some stipulation in the league that allowed them to do that. So maybe you won't get a paycheck, but the stars will be going to good teams that have the money. But owners can go a whole season and still be wealthy. Players cannot miss a season and still be rich. And there are more lower-level players than there are top-tier players. And they're going to say, we need to get our money, get this season going. 2 weeks of paychecks is already bad enough. Get me my season. And now I think it might happen, because now it's very real to the players that they could start losing money. But one player wouldn't mind coming back to the NBA to a different coach, and that's Superman, Dwight Howard. He's sick of Stan Van Gundy. You know, a lot of people are because he's kind of an annoying guy. But Dwight Howard has 1 year left on his contract. It's widely believed that he wants out of Orlando. He waffles at the media, but that's because you have to. A lot of people think teams will start to trade for him at the trade deadline this year since he'll be on the way out anyway. That will be a sweepstakes to follow right there. But in an interview, Dwight Howard said, and I quote, "Stan's a great guy away from basketball." Another quote was, "I have no problem with Stan Van Gundy off the court." And his next quote was, "I had a real problem with the way he coached." First of all, he's speaking in the past tense like he's not the coach anymore or like Dwight Howard's not his player anymore. And then those are very critical things to be saying about a man you're going to play for. The rest of the interview, he was talking about how he couldn't yell and get on his guys like the team captain he was supposed to because Stan Van Gundy yelled so much that Dwight Howard felt if he yelled too, then there would just be two jerks standing up in front of the team yelling at him, and that's not productive. So Stan Van Gundy's shtick is getting a little old in the media. Now it looks like even the superstars turning on him, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are more players on the team that don't like his coaching style. I know as a Warriors fan, I would get sick and tired of him coaching the Warriors, so I'm glad I don't have to deal with that. Now, number 5 is an NFL trade that isn't Carson Palmer. It's not a huge deal for the trade itself, but there's two reasons it's kind of a big deal. One, first of all, it's an NFL trade, and there's like 2 a season, and this is one of them. What it is the Lions send James Harrison, former Browns running back, over to the Eagles for Ronnie Brown, former Dolphins running back, who goes to the Lions. It's not a big deal other than the rarity, but that's where you'd be wrong if that's what you think, because Jahvid Best has been diagnosed with concussion-like symptoms. This guy has had a lot of neck and head problems in his short career already, including college. And it's scary when you get someone his small with head injuries. It's scary when you have anybody with head injuries. And now that they announce that he has a head injury and they trade for another running back because they had no depth behind him because their draft pick out of Illinois, Mykal LaShore, is injured, it makes you think that something's more wrong with Jahvid Best than they're letting out. And that's scary. I mean, he's a local guy to around here, went to Berkeley, you know, Bay Area. People generally love him. And it's unfortunate that a great player like that is injured. And it looks like it's going to be a thing that's going to hamper him his whole career and maybe won't let him reach the player he could have been, which is really sad. And speaking of the player you could be, LeBron James has no magic. And I'm talking about Magic Johnson, the ESPN analyst. He was at an event at Albany University, giving a talk to students, and one of the students asked, "What do you want to be remembered for?" Fair enough. Magic Johnson's answer was, "Putting people to work in minority communities." First of all, that's touching, but come on. I don't think that's really what you want to be remembered for. And if it is, kudos to you, but I don't believe you. And what he said after that is kind of why he's made the Sports Report. He said, "There's going to always be great players in basketball." True. "There's going to always be guys who win championships in the NBA, except LeBron." Oh, snap! Did you just say that, Magic Johnson? Did you really just say that LeBron James is not going to win a ring? Yeah, I know you're joking around, and you're funny, and they kind of laughed, but I think you seriously mean LeBron James won't win a ring. And you are wrong, my friend. I'm not saying it's going to be this year. I'm not saying it's going to be next year. But LeBron James will have a ring by the end of his career. And the fact that you would even joke about that shows how arrogant you are. I know you're a Laker, and it's what you guys do. Even you bad Lakers are arrogant. I mean, look at Luke Walton and Jordan Farmar. You guys are nothing, and you guys are arrogant out on the court. So I understand it's kind of a Lakers thing. But come on. Don't be that full of yourself that you can just sit there and say LeBron's not going to win a ring. So, Magic Johnson, relax. LeBron, relax. He's going to get a ring. Everything's going to be cool. Okay? Okay. Now we got to get a little sad here on the Sports Report because something tragic happened over the weekend to IndyCar racer Dan Weldon. He died in a 15-car wreck this weekend, and It's just bad. Weldon is a real star of IndyCar, and he won the Indianapolis 500 in 2005, and they've showed the wreck a lot, and it's hard to watch because you know the guy died, and you know he left a wife and two kids behind, which is hard to think about. I mean, if you're a kid losing your dad, or if your parents leaving or losing your spouse, it's just hard to think about. But hopefully this will call into action big changes in IndyCar. One change I think needs to happen is they need to make these cars heavier. They take so much weight out of these cars so they can go so fast that once there's an accident, they just go flying through the air because there's no weight to them. And we've seen now how bad that can be. So hopefully that changes. Condolences to the Weldon family. He was young. He was 33 years old. And it's unfortunate that things like this have to happen. They do, but it's unfortunate. And having said that, we're going to move on to number eight. And number eight today is a look back at the NFL. We're going to go over the games that happened this last weekend, give you a rundown. Number one, the Green Bay Packers dominate the St. Louis Rams 24-3 behind Aaron Rodgers, 310 yards and three touchdowns. The New York Giants beat the resurgent Bills 27-24. Running back Ahmad Bradshaw had 104 yards and three touchdowns in that game. Cincinnati sends Indianapolis to another loss, 27-17. Andy Dalton had 264 yards and a touchdown in that one. The Falcons beat the Carolina Cam Newtons, 31-17. Michael Turner went for 139 yards and two touchdowns. Philadelphia gets the must-win game against Washington, 20-13. LeSean McCoy with 126 yards and a touchdown. Pittsburgh gets a really sad win against the Jacksonville Jaguars, 17-13. Although Rashard Mendenhall did go for 146 yards and a touchdown. Oakland beats Cleveland 24-17. Darren McFadden with 91 yards and a touchdown. But the big story out of that one was Jason Campbell breaking the collarbone. We talked about that earlier. Baltimore beat Houston 29-14. Joe Flacco goes for 305 yards. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers get a big division win against the New Orleans Saints. That one was 26-20. Josh Freeman with 303 yards passing and two touchdowns. The Patriots beat the Cowboys 20-16. Tom Brady with 289 yards and two touchdowns. The Chicago Bears destroy the Minnesota Vikings, who have made a quarterback change. McNabb is out. Rookie Christian Ponder out of Florida State is in. That one was 34-10 Chicago. Devin Hester with 90 yards receiving and a touchdown and a kick return touchdown, which is always fun to watch him do that. The Jets beat Miami 24-6 in another sad, sad, sad Monday night game. They have been awful this year. I mean, most of it's just scheduling. I could have told you before the year that Jets-Dolphins was going to be a bad game. So they need to step the scheduling up next year because we haven't had a really good one yet. So now I'm going to give you your look ahead at the NFL. But before we do that, we're going to go over my picks from last week and see how I did. For my lock of the week, I gave you the Packers against the Rams, and the Packers did win that one 24-3, so that was solid. And my upset of the week was the Carolina Cam Newtons to beat the Atlanta Falcons. That failed. The Falcons won that one 31-17. I tried to get risky, and it bit me in the butt. Now this week, my lock of the week is Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints to beat the Indianapolis Colts. I have a lot of confidence in that offense to go crazy against that Colts defense, and the Saints defense is plenty good enough to stop the Colts offense. So give me the Saints over the Colts. My upset of the week, looks like I'm going with the Cam Newtons again. I got faith in this kid. He's going to do it. He's going to beat the Washington Redskins this week. Carolina Cam Newtons over the Washington Redskins is my upset of the week. My must win of the week is the Atlanta Falcons against the Detroit Lions. Tall task beating the Lions, unless you're the Niners. But the Falcons are slowly falling out of this race for the NFC South. The Saints and the Buccaneers are really the class, but if the Falcons want to get back in it, they need to win. They need to get a win against a really good team like the Lions that'll send them on a roll for the rest of the season. The division battle of the week is Houston against Tennessee, the Texans and the Titans. With the Colts out of the picture, it really comes down to the Texans and Titans battling for who's going to win this division. And with their first matchup being this weekend, the winner will get a huge leg up. And you need it because neither of those teams are that solid or that foolproof. So they need to go ahead and win this game and get out in front in the division. And then the game of the week is the Chargers against the Jets. The Chargers at 5-1, looking to improve, looking to extend their lead against the Raiders, who are going through a quarterback change now. And the Jets need to keep winning. They need to get a big win, just like the Falcons do over a good team, to keep the energy going. And now we're on to number 10. Number 10 is the college football look ahead. And first, we're going to look back at my picks from last week. I said the lock of the week was Wisconsin over Indiana. Easy choice. Easy win for me. I was absolutely right. And then my upset of the week was the Florida Gators, who were unranked, to beat Auburn. That did not happen. I was incorrect. That's okay. It's okay to lose the upset of the week because you're being on the edge. The lock of the week cannot be lost, and I won them both. So that's what really mattered. Now look ahead to this next week. My lock of the week is number 9, Oregon, who are 5-1. Against Colorado, who's 1-6. Colorado, the newcomers to the Pac-12 now because of them. And I have Oregon beating them handily. The top 25 game of the week is number 1 LSU against number 19 Auburn. SEC games always fun to watch, especially when there's a number 1 team involved, especially when it's LSU who is beatable. Now, my upset of the week is number 15 Michigan State to beat number 4 Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is very good. A lot of people think they could be a team that goes to national championship, but their division slugs it out with each other, and Michigan State is a bruising team, and I think they have a chance to beat Wisconsin. I'm taking them as my upset of the week. And the other notable games, mainly, is number 7 Stanford against number 22 Washington State. Andrew Luck takes on the Washington State Cougars, who are ranked, so this will be a big game for Stanford. My guess will be that they win it handily, but you never know. So go Andrew Luck, go Stanford, that's my team. Let's go undefeated, let's get a Rose Bowl this year. And that does it for the top 10. When we come back, we're going to have Gottheim. It's the first Gottheim of the show ever. It's the maiden voyage of Gottheim, and I'm excited about it, to say the least. I'm Ryan Sanchez. This is the Sports Report on radio.dominican.edu. We'll be back.
Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked down on. Just try your best. Try everything you can, and don't you worry what they tell themselves when you're away. It just takes some time, little girl. In a little out the ride, everything will be just fine. Everything will be alright. Hey, you know they're all the same. You know you're doing better on your. What they're big.
We can talk about this new term, this new battle cry that's going to be worldwide. It's called Got Him. Got Him. Little accent at the end. Sorry, Papa's feeling pretty delicious right now. Got Him. Or when you talk trash to someone. Got Him. You can afflict your tone any way you want. Got Him. Gosh, it's such a gorgeous friggin' term. People are going to jump on it. I know it. You're welcome.
That's right, you heard it, folks. It's time for Got Him, where we talk about who got in the world of sports. And if you tuned in to listen to Brian Sanchez, don't you worry, we got him. You can't tell me nothing because we got him. Welcome back to the Jim Harbaugh edition of the Sports Report. I'm Brian Sanchez. This is radio.dominican.edu, and I am so juiced right now because I get to talk about Jim friggin' Harbaugh. I love him. I love what he's done. He did it at Stanford. He did it in San Francisco. You give him anything, he'll turn it into gold. That's basically what happens. My roommate, Tyler Peterson, on the Facebook page, let me know that Harbaugh is the coach of the year. And you know what? Even if we lose every game from now on, Harbaugh is still the coach of the year just because of what he did this weekend. Oh my goodness, Jim Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh. This is the Jim Harbaugh edition of the Sports Report. So naturally, if this is the Jim Harbaugh Sports Report, who do we have on Got Him? Jim Schwartz, Detroit Lions head coach. Got Him. Why? Because he gave you a handshake and a pat on the back, and you chased him down, and you tried to get in his face, and all Harbaugh's players backed you off because everybody's got his back because of what he's doing with this team. And then in the post-game interview, first you got Harbaugh saying, oh, I was a little revved up, and I guess I shook his hand too hard, and I apologize to Jim Schwartz because I shook his hand too hard. Got Him. And then you got Schwartz on the other side saying, I don't know why he's so mean to me. He was unprofessional, and I don't like what he did. Got Him. You know why? Because you ran after him like a punk, Jim Schwartz. And then you're going to try and play the sympathetic character like he was so mean to you, and you just stood there and stayed classy and took it, and then took it to the postgame interview after? No. What you did is you ran after him, and you got thrown out by a PR guy. Your head football coach and a PR guy just got you out of the way. Harbaugh kept jogging into the locker room so he can tell his team that he's proud of them and it was the best defensive performance he'd ever seen, and that Alex Smith was clutch, which he was, and that his team is 5-1, and he's changing the bye week into the preparation week, and that they're going to go out and they're going to beat the Browns when they come out of the bye week. And you're over there crying about a freaking handshake, Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz, Got Him. Are you kidding me? You got him. Woo, that felt good. Not going to lie, that felt great because this is the Jim Harbaugh edition. And Jim Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh. Basically, what I'm trying to say is Jim Harbaugh. But Jim Harbaugh. Excuse me, but Jim Harbaugh. Now we got another person on Got Him, but these ones are nameless, and it's not one person. It's a group of fans. It's a group of Oregon fans who, after Oregon's win on ESPN, were on the field because Oregon fans are allowed to storm the field after a win, go on the field, and Coach Chip Kelly was doing an interview with Aaron Andrews talking about the win, and there are fans in the background going, woo, 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 you know, cheering, and you can't really hear what Chip Kelly is saying, and you could tell Chip Kelly can't really hear Aaron Andrews, so Aaron Andrews asked him a question, Chip Kelly goes, well, you know, we work really hard all week, and in the background, it's woo, 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 and all of a sudden, Chip Kelly turns around and goes, shut up! And the kids just, like, you see their faces go blank, and their body tightens up, and they just run off like little girls. Got Him, Oregon fans, because Chip Kelly is the coach. What he wants, he gets. If you're being too loud behind him, you're going to get thrown to the side. You're going to get told to shut up and leave. Got Him. And then, the icing on top of the cake was Aaron Andrews. After Chip Kelly tells them to shut up and they leave, and Andrews goes, thank you. Now, coach, Got Him from Aaron Andrews. Aaron Andrews got you. You Got God by Aaron Andrews and Chip Kelly. You're being too loud. You got told to shut up. And instead of being the rowdy, crazy college fans that you are and staying there and yelling louder, you left. Got him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Got him, Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh said to Jim Schwartz, guess what, buddy? Got him. Oh, my goodness. I think I'm going to like this segment. Woo, Jim Harbaugh. All right. Now we're going to have to refocus. My rant and rave is over. No more going off on Schwartz and Oregon fans until no more going off on Schwartz until my boys P-Yob and T-Baby get in the house. Then when we rep the Bay, I'm pretty sure we're going to get back on Schwartz, because that's what we do when we rep the Bay. Jim Harbaugh. Moving on to the fantasy focus, where I'm going to give you hints and tips on what to do for your fantasy team. More specifically, I give you two players to pick up, two players not to pick up. And if there's coaches in fantasy football, I would take Jim Harbaugh first. But there's not. First, we're going to give you a little review of last week. I told you to pick up Tim Tebow. Now, he had a bye week, so can't boast about his amazing stats that I told you to pick up. But they're going to be good, and I'll give them to you after he annihilates the Dolphins next week. And I also told you to pick up Ernest Graham, because I was pretty sure LeGarrette Blount was going to be out and injured, and Ernest Graham was going to be a guy you want on your team. He went for 109 rushing yards and 22 receiving yards. That's 12 fantasy points. You're welcome if you picked him up. If you listen to me, you're welcome, Jim Harbaugh. Now, I told you not to pick up James Jones, the Packers receiver, because there's too many of them. He put up 9 fantasy points, which is good, but he was so close to zero, it hurts. He had one 35-yard touchdown catch. That's all for the game. Now, you can say that's all you need, but let's be honest. The guy got one catch. How lucky are you that it's a 35-yard touchdown? Not worth having on your team. And I also told you not to pick up Doug Baldwin, Seattle receiver from Stanford. He was a great Stanford receiver under Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, by the way. He was on the bye. So can't knock him, but I just said don't pick him up because it was all the rage to pick him up after the big game. Now we're going to get to this week, this coming week, where Jim Harbaugh is getting his team ready for the Browns because there's no game. And my due pickups for this week are two Browns. The first one is Montario Hardesty. He's a running back. He's out of Tennessee. He's taking over for Peyton Hillis, who's getting his reps down because he's upset about his contract extension. And I want to let you know that P-Yob and T-Baby just walked in the building, and I want to know if they agree with me. I've said it this segment about 30 times. I just say Jim Harbaugh. What does that mean to you guys?
Fight.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Fight, hunger. And I told you we're going to talk about it more when they get on, because Jim Harbaugh is the man. By the way, everybody, Jim Harbaugh. Now, I also want you to pick up Greg Little, receiver out of North Carolina. His role's been expanding every week. It's getting bigger and bigger, and I think it's going to go off this week. I think he's going to go big. Now, I don't want you to pick up DeMarco Murray. Dallas running back. He's the third running back. Tashard Choice is a little iffy. Murray will get more touches than Choice, but it's still not enough to play. Just because he's a running back doesn't mean to play him. And speaking of running back and playing him, I'm talking about Jackie Battle from Kansas City. You may think he's going to get a lot of touches because Todd Haley wants to run more in Kansas City. Still not worth it. You know why? Because Todd Haley is not Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is Jim Harbaugh, and he's the only coach worth having in the league. You can keep Belichick. You can keep whoever you want. Give me Harbaugh. That's it for the fantasy focus. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to rep the Bay with T-Baby and P-Yob, and I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about Jim Harbaugh. Just in case you forgot, this is the Jim Harbaugh edition of the Sports Report. I'm Brian Sanchez. This is radio.dominican.edu. I'll see you after the break. Jim Harbaugh.
Getting born in the state of Mississippi. Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than coal. What in the world does your company take me for? Black bandana, sweet Louisiana, robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana.
was gonna come when I was gonna moan ya. A little loaded, she was stealing another breath. I love my baby to death.
Man, it's so beautiful here in San Rafael right now, and I just wish I could rep the Bay, but I don't think I could do it by myself. If only I could find some people who could help me out. California
love. Ladies and gentlemen, this is DJ P-Yob, and I bleed red and gold for my boy DJ B. Rep the Bay.
What's up, everybody? This is DJ T-Baby. The Golden State Warriors are my team. Klay Thompson, Monte Ellis, Steph Curry. Stay tuned for the season.
You heard it, folks. It's time to rep the Bay, and I couldn't do it by myself, so I brought in P-Yob and T-Baby. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Great. It's great to be here, B. How are you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm fantastic. Jim Harbaugh, by the way. Happy Jim Harbaugh Day.
Happy Harbaugh Day.
Yeah, happy Harbaugh Day, guys. I mean, I'm seriously in love with Jim Harbaugh. I'd marry the guy.
You would?
Yeah, attractive. Yeah.
Man, get in line. I'd like to remind everybody that this is the Jim Harbaugh edition of the Sports Report. I'm Brian Sanchez. Across from me is DJ P-Yob. Next to me is DJ T-Baby. This is radio.dominican.edu. Now I'm ready to talk about some Niners football, if you guys are ready.
We are ready.
I'm ready.
First of all, I want to know how crazy you were going, P-Yob, when that game ended and we beat the Lions.
Okay, first of all, B, I'm going to say I had a little bit of a hangover, but I was still watching the game, and geez, I was still going crazy. Still going crazy.
He didn't really watch. He was in and out of the game.
Are you kidding
me? He's not really diehard. Like,
are you kidding me right now?
Wait, to be fair, I saw him at the dining hall at halftime, and he was just getting his plate when I was leaving. And I told him, man, we got to rep the Bay on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You can't be lagging. So he just takes his plate and walks out to go watch the Niners game.
Hey, what's he doing at the dining hall, though, right?
I'm getting food, T.
Yeah, you had food in your room, buddy.
Fair enough. I was there, too, though. Hey, I was back for the game.
Yeah, it's all good.
He was, too. That's what matters, because we're here to rep the Bay. Now, we beat the Lions, who were undefeated, which was huge. I mean, and most of it's Jim Harbaugh, let's be fair. It's Jim Harbaugh Day. But this was an interesting one, because the other wins we were able to look at and say, you know, Alex Smith really showed up today.
Yeah.
And he played big. Now, up until the last throw to Delanie Walker, Smith, here's his numbers on the day, 17 of 25 for 125 yards, a touchdown and a pick. That's 7 yards a pass. Which is like a dump off every time.
It's a Smith game. That's what it is.
Yeah, but how nice was it to see him come up big in a moment where they needed him to make a throw?
Mm-hmm.
Fourth down, finds Delanie Walker on the slant. Now, my angle on this is that it's not Smith finally making a throw. It's Harbaugh, not Singletary, calling the plays and getting a guy open for him. What do you guys think about that?
Well, Jim Harbaugh said it himself in the locker room. This was on ESPN. It was on SportsCenter last night. All Jim Harbaugh said to Alex Smith is clutch, and that's what he was. He was clutch. It didn't matter how well he performed. He won the game, and he was clutch.
Yeah, it's very true. It's not really how you start. It's how you finish. And I was willing to bet anything I had that they were not going to score on that fourth and goal. I just didn't think they had it in them. They were, what, about 10 yards away from the end zone. I was shocked when the play was actually worked and they got the touchdown. Yeah. But back to Smith's game for a second. That's just a typical Smith game. 7 yards a pass. Like, no one else would throw for 120 whatever yards. That's just typical Smith. But he got the job done at the end.
Yeah, that's all that really matters, is that we got the win against the Lions, who were undefeated. Doesn't matter what Smith did, because in the end he got the touchdown patch, which was barely a touchdown to Delanie Walker.
Yes.
We were an inch away from losing that game, which is important. But everyone talked about how Frank Gore was going to go back to old broken down Frank Gore, because this defensive line with Williams and Sue and Fairley and Vanden Bosch were going to eat him alive. Well, guess what? 15 rushes for 141 yards. Kendall Hunter threw in 8 rushes for 33 yards. What did you guys think of Frank Gore?
Frank Gore was on beast mode. He was just like Marshawn Lynch against the Saints. But Frank Gore couldn't do it by himself. I love the formations Jim Harbaugh designed just for Frank Gore to get those amount of yards. You had Delanie Walker going in motion, going close to the offensive line. You had different formations. You had two tight end sets. You had three tight end sets. And also you bring in Isaac Sopawaga for short yardage, which will make Frank Gore break out for some extra yardage.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And I'm not even a big Niner fan, but I'm a big Frank Gore fan. And I love to see him succeed because I do think he's one of the most talented running backs in the NFL. So I hate when he has these games for like 30, 40 yards, like 2 yards a carry, because he's better than that. And he needs some gaps to get through. All good running backs need an offensive line. And it's nice to see Gore actually putting together some solid games now.
Yeah, you know what? Jim Harbaugh ran the power O with the pulling guard at Stanford a lot. And you know he was drooling when he saw Mike Iupati as a guard to pull, because that guy destroys people.
Yeah,
P-op.
And also, what makes this offensive line so much different is that he's not starting Shiloh Rochelle. He's starting Adam Snyder, which
Huge.
Is a great move.
That is because Rochelle makes a lot of mistakes. As a guard, he had a lot of holding penalties where you have the guy starting in front of you. And Snyder's just a solid offensive lineman. He's not going to, you know, win you any games, but he's just a guy you want out there on the field. Now, Michael Crabtree went 9 catches for 77 yards. He was big. But what surprised me is if you would have told me we would have beat the Lions and Delanie Walker went 2 catches for 11 yards and Vernon Davis went 2 catches for 8 yards. But that goes back to the running game and how dominant it was. And I got to say, it's because it's Harbaugh, not Singletary, calling the plays.
Yeah, and Harbaugh definitely is a far more innovative coach than Singletary is. And also, I like to add, I think there's just some games here where the stats don't necessarily dictate what actually happened. Like, you look at the stats, you say, okay, Smith 120 yards, these guys 2 catches. Niners probably lost by, what, like 10 points. But just random little things happen. Like you said, it really is a game of inches. Like, they literally won by about an inch. So just, there's such a fine line in football. So they ended up pulling it out regardless of what the stats indicated.
And the difference between Harbaugh and Singletary is that Singletary is a defensive-minded coach, and he wanted to get involved in the offense. That's something he should have never done. Jim Harbaugh is just sticking to offense, something he knows. And he got Vic Fangio, who has great NFL experience as a defensive coordinator. He was a defensive coordinator in Stanford, and he's leaving that all alone to Vic Fangio. This is what coaching staff should do. Stick to your strength. And that's exactly what Jim Harbaugh is doing.
Yeah, and you just hit a key point that I want to go off on now, and that's the 49ers defense and Vic Fangio. You mentioned the post-game interview that was on ESPN where he called Smith clutch. Both Fangio and Harbaugh also called it the best defensive performance they have ever seen.
They have.
Which actually surprised me at first, because I could think of better ones. How about holding the Buccaneers to 3 points?
Yeah.
But then you think about Stafford, Calvin Johnson, you know, they were up big and you had to hold them to nothing in order to win the game. So it was big. Now, I want to give you guys some defensive stats, and then you guys will tell me about what you thought about the defense. Navarro Bowman led the team in tackles again with 8. Justin Smith and Patrick Willis both had 5 tackles, but Justin Smith had 1.5 sacks. He shared that sack with Ray McDonald. Alden Smith, the rookie pass rush phenom, had 2 sacks in that game. He's running the sack total up, and Ahmad Brooks threw in a sack too. Now, this defense was amazing. Tell me what you guys saw.
Well, what sticks out to me, even though he didn't have the most sacks that game, I've always liked Justin Smith a lot because he really flies under the radar, but he's been one of the most productive defensive linemen in the NFL for years now, and he's one of the most underrated defensive players in the league. And you throw it out there, Stafford and Calvin Johnson, just an elite combination, weren't shut down, but they were held in check, and that's something no other team has accomplished thus far. So that, in that sense, it was an extraordinary performance from the Niners' defense.
And also, we have to understand, Justin Smith did not make the NFL top 100 players list on the NFL Network, which really shocked me.
Very debatable.
Justin Smith is honestly an outright stud, highly underrated. Mm-hmm. I agree with T-Baby there. But what I really loved about the 49ers is the way they study film. You cannot stop Calvin Johnson alone without studying film. If you study film, you'll learn the routes Calvin Johnson does. You'll learn who the other go-to guy besides him is, which is Pettigrew, which they really held him off. And Patrick Willis almost came with a big play in the end zone, stopping Pettigrew. But you know what? This is all credited to Jim Harbaugh and his coaching staff.
Yeah, you know, you can see the level of preparedness on the field. They don't look shocked when things happen. There's no timeouts early in a first quarter because they're clueless on what's going on. And it's all Jim Harbaugh. And speaking of Jim Harbaugh, he was the story of the game, but not because of anything that happened during regulation. It was Handshake Gate is what they were calling it on ESPN. The big deal. Where do you guys come down on what happened between Schwartz and Harbaugh?
Schwartz is a girl. Bottom line. T-Baby, go ahead.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about more on our show following this, but just quickly, I think the whole thing just blew out of proportion. Both guys are at fault. I'd probably say more Schwartz because of his reaction. His reaction was very excessive, running after Harbaugh. That was crazy. But the thing was blown out of proportion by the media. It's a guy getting excited. One guy's excited. The other guy's a little bit, you know, upset he lost. And that's what it is. Emotions got the best of him.
And also, what's very shocking is that these guys are friends. Honestly, what I've been reading on ESPN and Yahoo, these guys spent some time getting to know each other when they went into the league, because John Harbaugh went into the same time as Jim Schwartz, and Jim Harbaugh met him through his brother John. So it was,
and both named Jim too.
Yeah,
so
they're
common
both
ground
Jim, so.
There. Yeah,
yeah, you guys are right. And for those of you that listen to me on God Heem, you clearly know how I feel about Jim Schwartz. Not a fan now, but now I want to talk about, we got a bye week coming up, and then the Browns. It's looking like a favorable schedule now that this team's looking like it's for real. Where do you see the Niners going right now, especially with their big conference or lead in the West right now?
Well, I think they're going to just keep going uphill, like you kind of said. I mean, you can't put this team in the rear view anymore. They dismantled the Buccaneers, who just beat the Saints, who won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and then they beat the Lions. So they're getting some legitimate wins, not beating like the Cardinals and the Rams. They're beating legitimate teams. So it looks like the best is still in store for the Niners. They're going to keep pushing forward.
And what all analysts say about Jim Harbaugh, he got these 49ers believing in him and his system. And what he says before every game, he always puts his hand, everyone puts their hands in the huddle, and he says, "Who's better than us?" The whole team responds, "Nobody." And that's what they got believing.
Maybe the Packers, but it's still a good speech.
We'll see in the championship game. Yeah. No big deal. Now, before I let these guys go, I want to let everybody know that this past Friday, there was Midnight Madness here at Dominican. It was when basketball season got started, the midnight between Friday and Saturday. Put on a big show here, and it was emceed by our very own DJ P-Yob. We had a spoken word performance, rap performance, whatever you want to call it, by our very own T-Baby, the two that rep the Bay with me every week.
Yes.
And you guys were fantastic. I just want to let you guys know that.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. This is like what we dream of in front of a crowd.
Yeah, thanks, B. I appreciate the support. It helps a lot.
Yeah, no problem, guys. It was really, I broadcasted it with Hunter Hornstein, host of the Tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just great time having both you guys on. Everything was great. Who wants to tell them what's coming on next?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is DJ P-Yob with your boy DJ B. But coming up next is going to be What Are You Talking About with me, DJ P-Yob, and my boy DJ T-Baby, called What Are You Talking About on DU's hit music station, radio.dominican.edu.
So you can consider the Bay repped, right, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed.
That's going to do it for me, folks. I'm Brian Sanchez. This was the Jim Harbaugh edition of the Sports Report, only on radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned for What Are You Talking About with P-Yob and T-Baby. That's on next. That'll do it for me. Stay classy, San Rafael.